What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Jim Callis with us from MLB Pipeline, one of the world's foremost authorities on Major League Baseball, the draft prospects. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing good. Has it really been 35 years since we were covering Shockers College World Series Championship?
I was a young man then.
I was too.
You were a baby.
Even married. I have four kids who graduated from college now. Like I wasn't even. Goodness. I hadn't even met my future wife then. So,
yeah. I wondered who that guy was in the crib covering the College World Series. Must have been you.
Yeah, I guess.
Let's talk about the recently completed Major League Baseball draft. Let's go to the Royals. They had another high pick, and they picked the slugger out of Florida. Tell us about him and his track to get to the big leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Jack Caglione, who they took out of the University of Florida, number 6 overall pick, might be the most famous guy in the draft. He's a two-way guy. I don't think he's going to two-way as a pro. He can hit 99, and he's got a pretty interesting changeup on the mound. He's just too valuable as a hitter. I think it's a lot. You know, Shohei Ohtani makes two-way stuff look too easy. And it looks like Caglione might have been hurt at the College World Series, his last pitching outing. He was throwing like 88 and came out after an inning. But, he's, you know, probably the most famous guy in the draft because of the two-way exploits. I think he's the most physically imposing hitter in the draft. 6'5", 250, second in the nation with 35 homers this year. Led the nation with 33 homers last year. Pretty athletic for a guy as big as he is, and he can just obliterate balls. The one question with him, or the biggest question with him, and it's kind of an interesting one, is he chases a ton of pitches. I think his chase rate was something like 38%. He swings at pitches outside the zone, but I don't know if it's just because he's so big and he has such long arms and he covers the plate so well. His strikeout rate was only 8%. Now, I'm not a big data guy. I don't think you can find anyone in the big leagues who's got two numbers that extreme where they're chasing that many pitches but never strike out. And so he'll probably need to tighten the strike zone up a little bit, but it's a huge upside pick. I don't think the Royals thought he was going to get to them at 6, so I think that was a very pleasant discovery for them.
I wanted to ask you, Jim, about Emmanuel Rodriguez because he plays here in Wichita, and we thought he would be here in Wichita for a short time because he would get called up to AAA and then maybe even the big leagues, but he was here a short time because he's injured, hand, wrist injuries. So how much do you think that could hurt his development, if at all? He's so advanced as a hitter and such a good offensive player. What do you think he would have needed to work on for the duration of this year, and does it hamper his development at all?
Yeah, well, I think, and this is going to sound funny after what you just said, I think his biggest need, honestly, was to stay healthy and get a full season of at-bats. He's never had more than 354 at-bats in a season. He's never played 100 games in a minor league season. He's in his fourth year as a pro, and he's exciting. I mean, it's plus power. He does strike out, but he draws a ton of walks. He's a solid runner. He's a pretty good athlete. Like, I think, honestly, he's probably, I mean, I'm trying to look and see where we have him ranked on our top 100 prospects list. We have him ranked at 26, which is pretty high. But I actually think, like, the average fan doesn't know as much about this guy as they should just because he's been hurt so much. So, I honestly think at this point, he's still young. You know, he signed internationally. I think he's 20 old and ahead of the game for what level he's at. But he just needs to stay healthy and get at bats. I mean, it's not as drastic, and I'm not saying his ceiling's as high as this guy, but it's kind of like Byron Buxton with the Twins. Like, Rodriguez is very, very exciting when he's on the field. He just, isn't on the field on a regular basis often enough.
Talking with Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline. Okay, I'm going to jump right to it. I want to know about your thoughts on J.J. Weatherholt. But before you get into that, we've seen Paul Skenes just take MLB by storm. He's been incredible. I texted my son yesterday that this guy might become the best ever. I don't know. He certainly has that kind of look and stuff. So of all the collegiate players who were taken this year, and the first eight are college players, who's closest to the big leagues making an impact?
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Closest to the big leagues making an impact is probably, he might get slowed down a little bit just because of the team he's on. But I think Travis Bezzana is the most, is the purest hitter in the draft. And those guys tend to move the quickest. That would be my pick. You know, I think Charlie Condon's the best player in the draft, and the Rockies aren't as deep as the Guardians. So maybe he moves a little quicker than that. I mean, I do think a lot of these college guys, you know, pretty much taken with the first, you know, seven picks especially, are all, you know, advanced hitters or pitchers in the case of Hagen Smith and Chase Burns, that they're all going to move pretty quickly. I would put no one, and I know you weren't, Bob, I wouldn't put any of those guys in the class of Skenes, because, again, I was dating myself when I came on and I was talking about covering the 1989 College World Series. I've been covering prospects for 36 years now, and the only two pitching prospects as good as Paul Skenes, the only two guys I put in that class are Mark Pryor and Steven Strasburg. And like Paul Skenes, they got to the big leagues almost immediately, and when they got to the big leagues, they were almost immediately as good as any pitcher in baseball. I mean, right now I'd take Paul Skenes over any pitcher in baseball if I had to win one game to save my life. So we won't necessarily see a guy impact like that. Like that's about a once-in-a-decade type of draft. But I do think these guys will move quick. And getting to Weatherholt, who went to pick after Caglione, and he went seventh to the Cardinals. It's the same thing. I don't think the Cardinals could have expected to get him. I actually think JJ got a little underrated this year. He came into the year, he was our top-ranked prospect in the draft coming into the year. Then he missed half the year. He got hurt his hamstring, which he had hamstring issues last year as well. Hurt it in the first series of the year and missed half the season. And so, you know, a year ago, he led the nation in hitting. And I think, had he been healthy for the full season, you saw the crazy numbers. This is probably the most offensive year I can remember in college baseball. He would have put up crazy numbers like Condon and Caglione and Bezzana and the rest of those guys, too. Instead, he put up merely good numbers in half a season. I don't think there's a big difference between him and Travis Bezzana, who went number one. And I like Bezzana. I think they're similar hitters. I think Bezzana's got a little more power. I think Weatherholt's got a little more athleticism to him and a chance to play shortstop. I don't know that he sticks there, but I think he's a better second baseman than Bezzana. So I think they're very comparable players. So I think the Cardinals got a guy who you could argue if he had been healthy this year, and he was not because of the hamstring, might have been the best player in the draft at number seven. So I think both the Royals and the Cardinals got players at 6 and 7 they couldn't necessarily have counted on getting and have to be thrilled that they got those guys.
So since Bob asked about the Cardinals, I'll ask about my team, the Cleveland Guardians. And, you know, I know it's not all about performance, but we've seen guys that were sort of on the radar, sort of not. Angel Janow, Cooper Engle, C.J. Cephas have these really good years, and a lot of their top, at least, position player prospects are having pretty good years. Has that changed the look or the thoughts about what Cleveland's farm system is? And I guess the second part of that question is, do you think they're stocked enough to where if they make a couple trades to add at the deadline that they'll still be okay?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that their system has gotten a boost, and you cited some of the guys, Janow, Cephas, Cooper Engle, who've had really nice years. Cephas and Engle were two guys that drafted last year. Janow was signed internationally a couple of years ago. You know, the interesting thing about their system is there's not a lot of pitching, though they're known for developing pitching. Like, it's very hitter-heavy, the system is. I mean, part of that's because Daniel Espino, who's arguably the best pitching prospect in baseball before he got hurt, has been hurt. Now, I do think they're in position to make trades because, A, they do have those hitters, and, B, I mean, they were in a position this year that nobody's ever been in before. They had the number one pick and they had a bonus pool of you know, when you count in the five, like I think it was $18.5 million, which was a record. And they could probably, you know, if you count the 5% overage, you can spend over your bonus pool in the draft without losing picks. That gets them to $19.5 million. That doesn't even count round. They could probably spend $20 million on this draft, and they invested heavily after taking Bizana in several high school pitchers, starting with Braylon Doty in the supplemental first round. So they tried to address that pitching shortfall. But yeah, I think they could definitely. I don't know that they have a lot of pitchers teams are going to come after, but they could certainly. They have a number of position players they can trade, and they have the depth to hang on to. You know, depth to give them up. And while they'd be missed, and you never love trading prospects, it's not like it would leave the cupboard bare.
Talking prospects with Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline. So it just feels to me, we got the trade deadline coming up next week. It feels to me like the Orioles kind of have to go all in. They have the best system in the game. I think everybody kind of agrees on that. Do you agree with me that they're going to make some things happen and try to bring in somebody that can they believe can put them over the top?
I don't know if they will. They, you know, Michael Elias has done a really nice job building the organization up. He's also been very patient, or you could say conservative, in terms of making trades. You know, when they got Corbin Burnes in the offseason, you know, they gave up Joey Ortiz and D.L. Hall, who were kind of good prospects, but not like the cream of Baltimore's crop. They were kind of blocked. I always thought Hall was more reliever than starter. They had a million infielders, so where was Ortiz going to play? So it was easy to kind of give those guys up. It wasn't like you were really going to feel that one. I do agree that they have depth. They have more players and they have spots to play them. I agree that they should make a trade, and I agree that they have the prospects to make a blockbuster. Like if they want to go out and get Scooble, or if they want to go out and get Crochet, I think they could trump anybody's offer. Like they have the talent, they could trump anybody's offer. It's just, will Michael Elias pull the trigger? And but they're getting to the point where guys are starting to get backed up as they get, you know, to AAA and trying to crack the big leagues. I don't think they'd trade Jackson Holliday. That would shock me. I don't think that would happen. But, like, you know, they've got Samuel Basayo, who's a catcher, and Kobe Mayo, who's a third baseman, who are two of the best prospects in baseball. But both of them might wind up being first baseman in the long run, you know, regardless of having, you know, Rutschman there and more infielders than you know what to do with. So maybe you trade one of them. You know, they've gotten Colton Cowser and Heston Kerstedt to the big leagues, but they have a bunch of outfielders in the big leagues. It's hard to play them all. Maybe you could trade one of those guys, and then you package him with the third guy, and that's a pretty good start to getting a Scooble or a Crochet. So I agree with you, except I'm not – I think they should make a deal. I don't know that they will make a deal. We'll have to see.
Was Scooble, Burnes, and Rodriguez pretty dangerous in a postseason series?
I agree. And, like, I wouldn't just give prospects away, and just because you have a backlog of prospects doesn't make them less valuable to you because you don't have a spot to play them. But I agree. I mean, I think you're kind of at the – like, if you got a Crochet or Scooble, you'd also – it's unlike Burnes. They aren't going to be a free agent at the end of the season. You'd have some control over them, too. I'm with you. Like, I would – I'm not saying I would just, you know, blow all the prospects out and make 18 trades, but if I could find another guy who would be a formidable playoff pitcher, I would pull the trigger.
Well, good stuff. I really admire your work. I follow it very closely, as does Jeff. We are big baseball people, as you know, and thank you for coming on, Jim.
Oh, always good talking to you. It brings back fond memories of Rosenblatt Stadium every time I talk to you, Bob. So good chatting
better.
With you. Nope, that's the best. I agree. I got to get back to the College World Series. The problem is now with the draft combine, it's hard for me to go to the College World Series. I haven't been in like 5 years. I need to get back to Omaha.
Well, Omaha's great, but there'll never be a setting like Rosenblatt. It was just amazing.
I agree. Well, you guys take care, and we'll talk some more baseball again soon. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Jim Callis from MLBPipeline.com, talking prospects. I could do that all day. And I know you could.
Interesting stuff.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.